Welcome into the UC Health Training Center. Things have calmed down quite a bit since Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But now the Broncos, after the dust has settled, are adding eight players to their roster. Welcome in, everybody. I'm Matt Boyer, joined by Phil Milani. And Phil, it took us an entire day to catch our breath. We're rested, we're refreshed, and now we have eight new players to call Denver Broncos.
It was a wild weekend, Matt, and I think the Broncos are really excited about how the draft went for them.
Yeah, let's take a look at some of those picks right now. As we mentioned, eight new members of the Broncos. We start, of course, with round one, pick number 20. That's Garrett Bowles. In round two, the Broncos went defense to Marcus Walker. In round three, two picks, Carlos Henderson and Brendan Langley. Henderson, the wide receiver out of Louisiana Tech. Langley, the defensive back out of Lamar. Round five, Jake Butt, the tight end out of Michigan. Again, round five, Isaiah McKenzie, the wide receiver out of Georgia. We move to round six, D'Angelo Henderson, the speedy running back out of Coastal Carolina. And we finish things up with Mr. Irrelevant, but he certainly could be relevant as we move into the next couple of years, and that is quarterback Chad Kelly. So, Phil, just to kind of recap everything, what's your take on those eight names?
Six players on offense, two players on defense. That made a lot of sense to me. They wanted to add some juice to the offense, and I think that they certainly got some juice, some explosive players, and a couple of guys who are really going to contribute right away in special teams.
Yeah, one of those guys that's going to contribute right away on offense, expectedly, is, of course, offensive lineman, offensive tackle Garrett Bowles, the number one pick, number 20 out of Utah. What did you like about his game? I know you were in there when he got the call.
Yeah, I liked a lot about this pick. I mean, even going back all the way to the combine, I know that the Broncos really liked their meeting there in Indianapolis. This guy plays with a nasty streak, and, you know, the Broncos needed a left tackle. That's a position that they really haven't had a dominant player at since Ryan Clady was there. There's going to be some competition for Bowles to start right away. There's players on this roster right now, but I like the pick a lot. He brings that attitude that the Broncos clearly want on their offensive line.
Yeah, the best thing I thought about Bowles was that, the call. John Elway, he said, "I love you too." Bowles said he loved him. It was a great, great moment, one of the best on draft night. Let's take a look at some of those tackles right now, though. As you mentioned, he's going to have some stiff competition.
Yeah, Donald Stevenson, you know, we saw the Broncos bring him in last season. Michael Schofield is there. He's a swing player. He can play that tackle position, the guard position. Of course, they added Menelik Watson. Justin Murray also on the roster there. So it's no sure thing that he's going to just come in and start right away, although I'm imagining that the Broncos would like to see that happen.
Right. Speaking of competition, DeMarcus Walker, the defensive end out of Florida State, him and Bowles are going to be seeing a lot of each other in rookie minicamp and then into training camp, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. What do you like about our man out of Florida State?
Well, John Elway said that he was thinking about maybe moving up early into the second round there, but he stayed put and got a quality player, a guy 16 sacks last season, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year.
First time he had ever seen snow coming in. That was quite an experience. He got to feel snow for the first time. Said he wanted to throw a snowball at somebody, but didn't get the opportunity. When you talk about defensive line, the front seven, he's going to have a lot of competition to start right away, but he's got a lot of people to learn from.
Oh, yeah. I mean, his production, it cannot be ignored what he did at Florida State, but like you mentioned, a lot of people to learn from. You lose DeMarcus Ware, you replace him with another DeMarcus and DeMarcus Walker, but the nice thing about Walker is he can rush from the outside, he can rush from the inside, and of course, there's guys like Von Miller, who Shane Ray, who can teach him on the outside, and then on the inside, of course, Zach Kerr, Derek Wolf, Jared Crick, Adam Gotsis, the pick from last year,
I'm sure can
help him learn what it's like to be a rookie in the NFL. So he's got a lot of guidance already on the Broncos roster.
From there, the Broncos went speed at the wideout position. Wide receivers coach Tyke Tolbert gets his man from the state of Louisiana. We're, of course, talking about Carlos Henderson, the wide receiver out of Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, this is a guy who could come in and contribute as a number three wide receiver almost right off the bat. 5'11", 199 pounds, so he's a little bit on the smaller side, but that's okay for a slot wide receiver, a guy who will really be able to attack linebackers in the middle of the field. Plus, he adds a dynamic presence in the return game.
plays as a running back, a lot of people have said. A very speedy guy, as we just mentioned, but kind of an upright runner, really does well to run. A guy that could maybe go over the middle, a tough guy. So I think that our coaching staff really likes that about him. But when you look at that wide receiver's room, again, it's a very deep room, and he's got a lot to learn from the guys ahead of him.
Well, Henderson said that he was a running back in high school, didn't play wide receiver until he got to Louisiana Tech. But, gosh, that wide receiver's room is loaded. Emmanuel Stacked. Sanders and DT on the outside. And then in terms of that third wide receiving position, Jordan Taylor is there, Cody Latimer, Benny Fowler. So all trying to get into that third wide receiver spot. And then in the return game, a guy like Khalif Raymond, you know, similar size. Khalif is a little bit lighter than Henderson is, but you talk about the return game. There's going to be competitions in training camp for sure.
Also had the best shoes of anybody who walked through the building during
some nice
during
Gucci
the week.
Shoes.
You got a chance to. What were some of the interactions you saw from him and the guy? I know Tyke Tolbert really liked his shoes.
Tyke
too.
Is really excited about him. Tyke had a Gucci belt on when he met him, so he's like, "Hey, I like Gucci too."
Fantastic. Well, we go from offense to defense. Henderson could be lining up against his third-round mate, Brendan Langley, the defensive back out of Lamar during rookie camp, a guy who could contribute on special teams. Hasn't been playing defensive back long, but a lot of upside with this guy.
Yeah, a lot of upside. And when you think about the no-fly zone, I think you think, hey, if you get a guy who has a lot of upside, a guy who started at the University of Georgia and then transferred to Lamar, you talk about upside, he can learn from some of the best in the game and eventually get to where the Broncos want.
Well, you talk about the best of the game. We heard becoming a member of the no-fly zone mentioned a lot during this weekend. He was very excited about it. Those guys ahead of him, he's going to probably struggle to find a starting spot, but, I mean, there's some potential Hall of Fame talent in that room.
Yeah, you could play in the nickel position there. I mean, he's 6 foot. You know, he can maybe replace a guy like Kayvon Webster. So, obviously, he said that there's three guys, Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., and Bradley Roby. He can learn from all of those guys.
That was the end of day two. It went Bowles, Walker, Henderson, and Langley. All of them managed to make it into the building despite all the wild weather we had this weekend. We had a chance to catch up with all of them. And here is the best of the best from Friday and Saturday. When you're here for your official visit a couple weeks ago, I know you got a chance to sit down with Coach Joseph and John Elway. What was that meeting like, and why do you think that meeting may have led to this day?
They just wanted to see the type of player I am. You know, it had nothing to do with if I can play football. They already knew that. They just wanted to see, does my character, people are saying, match up with the person I am today? And it did. I'm the same person every day. You know, faith, family, football, this is my song. And this is the three big most important things in my life. So I'm just grateful and honored to be here. I'm grateful to work with my teammates that just earn their trust and, you know, do everything I can to contribute as fast as I can to help our team win the Super Bowl.
You saw snow for the first time. You came in today. I saw you grab a handful of it. What did it feel like?
It felt good. It was cold. I couldn't hold it for long, but it was cold. And, I want to throw it at somebody, but so it was a great experience.
When you came into the building for the first time, you come through the cafeteria, you go upstairs and see John Elway and Coach Vance Joseph. What's going through your mind? What are your emotions like?
Just thank you. Opportunity. That's all I thrive on is opportunities. You know, give me an opportunity, I would seize it. And I'm just thankful for just to be here and just be able to, just to contribute, and I'll earn everything.
Coming to this team couldn't have worked any better for me. You know, being in this great city of Denver, being in, you know, a part of the no-fly zone, being able to pick these guys' brains, and then we talk a lot about defense, but then, you know, you look at the offense, and you got guys like Emmanuel Sanders, you got Demaryius Thomas, you even got Marlon Brown, and those guys are going to, you know, help me get better, you know, taking reps against them, you know, on the opposite side of the ball. So I think this is just a win-win situation for me.
Big moment, excited, overwhelmed, dream coming true. You know, I've been dreaming about the NFL since I was 4 years old, so to hit that call with the Denver, Colorado area code showed up when I was just like, wow, it was just over, like, real thrill moment, yes, sir.
A lot of great moments from the past weekend. It's always great to see those guys come into the building for the first time, huge smiles on their faces. feeling the jersey for the first time. Do you get a kick out of seeing them smile?
Well, first of all, the star of the first round, Kingston Bulls.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He came into the building. That was exciting to get to see Garrett Bull's son come in. But obviously, these guys' dreams just came true. They're drafted into the NFL, and they come in with so much excitement. Something funny, though, talking to John Elway, we'll hear from him a little bit later on. He was like, you've had your fun through the draft process. Now it's time to get to work. Welcome to the NFL.
You were lucky enough to get an exclusive interview with Kingston Bulls.
Yeah, exactly. He was there. I don't know if you saw on our social media, but he held him out like Simba. That was pretty cool.
Awesome, awesome. Well, it was also cool to see on day three the fact that all these NFL teams from around the league, including the Broncos, were able to do some cool picks in the last day of the draft, including our own pick from Pinyon Canyon. It was miserable weather down in Southern Colorado this weekend. Snow was everywhere. The wind was blowing. You could see it right there. But we had a great day with all the soldiers down there at Pinyon Canyon. They got to take pictures with the cheerleaders. They got to hang out with the three Super Bowl trophies. And when it was time to take the pick in the fourth round, the Broncos traded back. So they had an even longer wait. Finally, though, the fifth round comes along, and at number 145, the excitement remained high.
Live from Pinyon Canyon Maneuver Site here in beautiful Colorado. Hi, I'm Carl Mecklenburg, former Denver Broncos linebacker, along with my buddy and teammate, linebacker Randy Gratishar. We're excited to introduce specialist Ashley Smith of the 1st Striker Brigade.
With the 145th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select Jake Butt, tight end, Michigan.
All right. Our thanks to specialist Ashley Smith and Jake Butt, the tight end out of Michigan. My guy. I was just as happy as they were.
I heard you were supposed to be down there, but you didn't want the weather.
Oh, come on. No, just kidding. Come on. No, but when you talk about a guy like Jake Butt, a lot comes to mind. Senior leadership at Michigan, played in the bowl game, might have cost him a couple of draft rounds because he did get hurt in that Orange Bowl. But what do you like about that pick in the fifth round?
Goodness, this could have been the steal of the draft, in my opinion. I mean, coming into this draft, a lot of people thought this could have been the deepest tight end class in the history of the draft. And you talk about him getting hurt there. He could have been an early second round, maybe late first round kind of talent. And the Broncos end up getting him in the fifth round. Could be a lot of value there. And reports are that he's ahead of schedule in his recovery.
Getting emotional just watching these Michigan highlights in the Big House. But no, seriously, about that tight end group, you mentioned it. He's really got a chance to come in and make an impact because outside of him and O.J. Howard, there weren't many guys in this draft that could line up in line and then split out wide. So it gives the Broncos a lot of options as far as what they do going forward.
Yeah, there was a lot of pass-catching tight ends in this year's draft class. But like you mentioned, Butt can do both. But he comes into a very crowded tight end room. I think that Virgil Green has really established himself, has cemented his spot. But after that, there's a lot of question marks there. A draft pick, very similar to Butt. Jeff Heuermann from a couple of years ago came in, got hurt, missed his entire rookie season. So that might be one of the most highly contested positions in all of the roster during training camp.
Yeah, one of the most emotional draft scenes that we saw from the Broncos this year, Jake Butt getting the call. And one of, or I should say, guys that are very familiar to emotional draft scenes are our own Carl Mecklenburg and Randy Gratishar. We had a chance to catch up with them at Pinyon Canyon to talk about what goes on draft day.
My dad was in the Army. It's great to come down and be a part of this this event with the Army guys. I know they're excited about it. Everybody's out in the weather and, you know, excited to be a part of this. I think anything we can do for them, any way we can brighten their day, any way we can get some excitement down here, I think it's an awesome thing.
Well, it means a great deal for me. Just the appreciation of our military and having the opportunity to associate with them. I had the opportunity in 2004, 5, and 7 to go over to Iraq and Afghanistan and Qatar and visit troops over there, and it pretty much just changed my life. And now still working and with the Philong Dealership Group and Mount Carmel Center of Excellence, it's for veterans and families, for resource center, for resources and transitional services. So military's always been part of my heart. I've been working with the Phil Long Dealership Group for 20-some years, and I've always had a great relationship with Fort Carson. So this is kind of a welcome home kind of thing for me to come back out here at Pinyon Canyon to be part of what they're doing here today.
Our thanks to Carl Mecklenburg and Randy Gradishar, and a very special thanks to all of the men and women who served in our armed forces stationed out there at Fort Carson and Pinyon Canyon. One of the cool things that we did get to see was a helmet with a Broncos logo.
Yeah, I think that the military and the NFL have such a close relationship. I mean, you talk about Salute to Service Month and the partnership with USAA. The two really go hand in hand, and it was really cool to see how the Broncos can affect so many people's lives. And we got to see that with this really cool helmet.
Yeah, we're going to take we're going to listen to the soldier that has that helmet currently down there at Fort Carson. There's a lot of tradition behind that Broncos logo in the military.
So the helmet's actually been passed down for a while, for about 4 years now. The first guy to have it, Sergeant Southers, he left our unit, but he was a huge Broncos fan. So he painted the horse on it, and when I got it, I was happy to take it. You know, it's real exciting. Each person gets to paint their own symbol on the helmet, and I get to stick out of the hat so other people can see it. So I think it's unique. You know, it's exciting. It brings the same audacity that the team has. You know, so it definitely stands out, and you know, I like wearing it, and you know, letting everybody on the ground see it when we drive by them.
Our thanks to Lieutenant Klimek for that great story. We thank you for your service as well. A lot of cool sights down there at Pinyon Canyon.
Yeah, just to see a helmet like that with the Broncos logo on it passed down, sort of a badge of honor, if you will. Really cool to see how just a passionate fan base down there for the Broncos and how they have a cool tradition like this.
We're going to stay in round five. The Broncos had two picks in round five, and we move to the offensive side of the ball. Wide receiver Isaiah McKenzie out of Georgia, a smaller but speedy wide receiver, a guy who could really contribute on special teams.
You talk about bringing in some juice. This guy brings in the juice. He's only 5'7", 173 pounds, but when the ball's in his hand, he's really electric.
Yeah, I think that you said it. Juice was the operative word all week long. The Broncos wanted to add juice on special teams, and this guy can certainly bring it. In the SEC, returned a lot of punts. Very shifty guy. I liked his movement.
Yeah, he when he does the punt returns, he can dance around a little bit. That's one thing that he actually needs to work on a little bit, is just starting to get right up the field. But he's really explosive, made a lot of plays in Georgia, and he most definitely will have a role on special teams.
This is a guy who we said can contribute on special teams, but we could also see him contributing down the line as a wide receiver. Another undersized guy coming into the NFL just a couple of years ago was Emmanuel Sanders, and he's done all right for himself.
It'll be really interesting to see what the Broncos do here, because him and Carlos Henderson, somebody's going to have to emerge there and play a lot of offense, because you only have 46 jerseys on game day. You can't waste them on all these very specific positions. So a guy who can maybe try and do a little bit more, maybe he can get the ball five times, handful of times on offense, that can earn him a jersey and play a significant role come game day.
That rounds out the fifth round. For the sixth round, we move from Pinyon Canyon. We're headed up to the Mile High Monument outside Sports 30 Field. Weather wasn't much better, was it?
No, was it? Gosh, it wouldn't be a Denver Broncos draft if it wasn't snowing outside. Am I right?
Yeah. The Broncos Boys and Girls Club headed indoors at Sports Authority Field. They got to toss around the football a little bit, got to hang out with the cheerleaders. But when it was time to turn in the pick, they braved the elements, headed back outside, as you said it, Phil, in that beautiful Colorado spring weather, and made the selection.
Live from Mile High Monument in Denver, I'm Denver Broncos cheerleader McKenna, and I'm here with 10-year-old TJ Elliott, a cornerback from the Denver Broncos Boys and Girls Club football team.
With the 203rd pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Denver Broncos select D'Angelo Henderson, running back, Coastal Carolina.
TJ Elliott's coming for our job one day.
Gosh, he delivered that line perfectly. Coastal Carolina, not easy to say.
No, D'Angelo Henderson, the running back out of Coastal Carolina. Phil, I know you were in the room for the pick. Brock Oliva's a pretty happy guy. And why is that?
Oh, well, I mean, he's got a lot of talent here to work with now. D'Angelo Anderson looks a little bit like C.J. Anderson, that bowling ball kind of player there. He had a lot of production at Coastal Carolina. Big South Offensive Player of the Year. You wonder, okay, what about the competition that he was playing at there? But once he gets the ball in his hands, he has a nose for the end zone, as they like to say.
Yeah, 5'7", 208, very, very well built, a tough runner. Brock Olivo coached this guy.
Yeah, he did. He coached him for 2 years down there. I guess his nickname is Hop.
Hey.
So we'll have to see how much leaping ability he has, but as long as he finds the end zone, right?
Right, exactly. He's going to have a lot of people to draw from in that running backs room. You think about C.J. Anderson, Devontae Booker, Coach Eric Studisville, a guy who's known for bringing great running backs into this league. How much is he going to benefit from that atmosphere?
He's lucky that he gets to work with a guy like Coach Studisville, one of the best running back coaches in all of the NFL, helped develop him. Think about C.J. Anderson, an undrafted player, rose up under the coaching of Eric Studisville, and the same thing could happen with D'Angelo Henderson there.
We reached the final pick in the draft, round 7, number 253, Mr. Irrelevant. But I can tell you, a lot of people have been saying this pick is anything but irrelevant. We're talking, of course, about Chad Kelly, the quarterback out of Ole Miss, nephew of Hall of Fame quarterback Jim Kelly. The bloodlines are good. A lot of people like this pick, Phil.
Yeah, you asked John Elway, hey, how much homework did you do? He said, yeah, I just picked up the phone and talked to Jim Kelly. That's good enough for him. But really a strong arm quarterback, 6'2", 224 pounds. A lot of people say, hey, he might remind them of a guy like Jay Cutler, you know, walks around with a bigger arm kind of quarterback, a lot of confidence. But, of course, he comes in with a little bit of character issues. That's the question mark on him there. Started his college career at Clemson, had some stuff happen at Ole Miss. So we'll have to see, but no doubt he has a talent. When he beat Alabama twice, that's not easy to
do. Won a JUCO national championship at East Mississippi. So a lot of great football accolades to go along with that resume. So I think they really like this pick. It would take a look at the room, though. Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, where does Kelly fall in that room?
Well, it'll be interesting to see because he comes in with an injury. Not sure if it's a thumb or a wrist, so he might not be 100% to go at the start of camp there. But he's lucky, too. He gets to come in and work with Bill Musgrave, a guy who developed a player like Derek Carr. He gets to work with Mike McCoy. John Elway is his GM.
That guy's pretty good.
Yeah, he's in a great spot as a young quarterback joining the Denver Broncos. It'll be interesting to see how much, if he could come in and compete during training camp or if he's going to start the season on the PUP list. It'll be interesting to see how much he can do there early on.
A lot of talent, a lot of juice, as we mentioned, in this Broncos draft class. And two guys I know who are very happy, head coach Vance Joseph and John Elway, both of whom you got to talk to.
Yeah, we talked to both of them. We sat down one-on-one interviews at the end of the draft. You know, a lot of people thought maybe you're going to be trading, maybe you're going to make some splashes, but you stay patient. And I think John Elway, going through his 7th draft as the GM with the Denver Broncos, he knew what he was doing. He stayed calm. And I know that the Broncos got a lot better in several positions.
You know, we added a lot of good football players. I think, offensively, I think the breakdown, we had 6 offensive players and 2 defensive players. And so obviously the concentration was a little bit on the offensive side. But I think we were able to bring some kids in that can really run, bring an attitude with them, some toughness with them, and they'll, you know, fit right in on the offensive side. And then, you know, defensively with DeMarcus, feel like he can really help us inside with the pass rush and, you know, with the production he had in his college career. So we're excited about the draft. We're excited, you know, you never know how it's going to fall. But we're excited about how this one fell and excited about the class.
You know, we got faster, between that 3rd round and the 7th round there. Our goal was to draft more interior speed from the slot and the running back position. Here's why. You know, we've got those 2 receivers outside, and, you know, everyone plays us in cover 2 or plays in shell coverage. So we needed guys inside who can attack linebackers.
Garrett is a guy that we, you know, really like his athletic ability. He's a guy that has a tremendous high ceiling and think that he's got a lot of area to grow. So, you know, and plus he wants to be great. And, you know, he's a guy that's a great competitor. And I think as we met him, this when he came in that, for him to be great, you got to want to be great. And that's what he wants to do.
Changing culture and attitudes of your football team cannot be a hope. It's got to be on purpose, you know, and you have to go find guys who fit that mold. You know, you can't hope that guys acquire that. They have it or they don't have it. You know, so we went out and got, you know, 7 or 8 guys who have the attitude of toughness, you know, and you know, hating to lose. That's important in the NFL because it's a hard game. It's going to be it's going to be tight games every week, and guys who hate to lose won't lose.
Gosh, you see Bowles with that huge backside block right there. Excited to get him in. And head coach Vance Joseph's actually going to do something different than the Broncos have done in years past. Instead of bringing the rookies in and having camp right away, he says it's just going to be an orientation to the NFL life. He said that guys have been working out differently, getting ready for the combine and for the draft. They're tight once they come in. Let them come in, get relaxed, and then bring everybody, including the veterans, out on the field.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of excitement surrounding this draft class when it comes to the front office and the coaching staff. Another group of people that are very excited about this draft, the players. They were very active on Twitter for all 3 days. When I get to some of the reactions here, Chris Harris Jr. tweeting out, "Bowles look like a big, nasty dog, LOL." So that's from Chris Harris Jr. We also heard from Trevor Siemian, welcome aboard, Garrett Bowles. Happy for you and your family. Paxton Lynch also reaching out on Twitter, "Congrats to Garrett Bowles, work time." So those were some of the reactions about the first-round pick. Trevor Siemian also went on to add on day three, "Those Big Ten guys with jacked-up knees usually end up doing all right. Pumped for Jake Butt." So a lot of excitement surrounding this class when it comes to the players already on the roster. But the national media really liked the class as well.
Yeah, are you a fan of draft grades?
No, not now.
I think you got to wait a little bit, see how the production happens.
Right.
Because we know that the experts get things wrong a little bit. But I'll tell you, the pundits' instant reaction to this draft class, a lot of excitement. Sports Illustrated's Chris Burke gave him an A. He really liked the Brandon Langley pick, a high potential guy there. Mel Kiper Jr., a B+, said that DeMarcus Walker was a perfect fit for the Broncos defense. Pete Prisco, CBS Sports, gave him a B. They said that they needed help up front. They got a guy like Garrett Bowles, happy about that. And then NFL.com gave him a B as well, said that Carlos Henderson is one of the toughest pass catchers to tackle in the entire draft. So the pundits' instant reaction, really happy about this draft class.
We can probably throw those back at the guys in 3 years when they're just crushing it in the league, and we can add that to our list of, you know, NFL draft profiles that we saw earlier
exactly,
this week.
Exactly. It looks like my report card, right?
A's and B's, huh?
I don't know. Oh,
sharp cookie there.
Yeah,
all right.
Exactly.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to transition to the next phase of the player acquisition process. We're, of course, talking about the college free agents, and we're going to talk to one player on the Broncos roster that is very familiar with the process. Stay tuned.
It's a summer full of special events at Sports Authority Field at Mile High. Eat the food you crave at the Bacon and Beer Classic May 13th. Sample bacon-inspired dishes and over 300 craft beers from Denver's best restaurants and breweries right on the field. Listen to the music you love with the Summer Concert Series presenting Metallica's World Wired Tour, June 7th. Guns N' Roses, August 2nd. Justin Bieber's Purpose Tour, August 12th. And Drums Along the Rockies returns July 15th. Watch the sports you enjoy with the CONCACAF Gold Cup Soccer Doubleheader, featuring the Mexican national team on July 13th. And your world champion Denver Outlaws return home to defend their title May 7th. With spectacular fireworks shows celebrating Memorial Day and the 4th of July. For more information, go to Sports Authority Field at milehigh.com. For tickets, check out Ticketmaster.com. For food, music, and sports this summer, head to Sports Authority Field at Mile High.
The War Room is always a very, very busy place when it comes to the draft night. We can see here this weekend was no different. General Manager John Elway, Head Coach Vance Joseph, working the phones, working their draft boards. So a lot of action on days 1, 2, and 3. Welcome back, everybody. So now that we've gone through the entire draft class, we now move to the college free agents. And, Phil, I know the Broncos have had a lot of success in that area in the past couple of years.
A lot of people's dreams came true over the weekend, but there's still a lot of talent that didn't get to hear their name selected. The Broncos, just a few years ago, had a streak of 11 years where an undrafted free agent made the opening day roster for the Broncos. And some of the best here, Rod Smith, of course, he's the all-time leader in receiving yards as a Denver Bronco. A guy who's on the roster right now, Chris Harris Jr., gosh, it's incredible to believe that he didn't even get invited to the combine. I mean, that is unreal. CJ Anderson, we all know how productive he is. Entered last season being the starting running back, scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl. And then a guy, I know Broncos fans will remember way back, Dwayne Carswell was on those Super Bowl teams in the 90s. He made a Pro Bowl. And then, of course, Wesley Woodyard, the linebacker, undrafted guy who saw his career now continue with the Tennessee Titans. A lot of history with the Broncos of finding guys late after the draft is over with, bringing them in and really coaching them up and seeing them develop into NFL talent.
Yeah, Rod Smith, Ring of Famer, undrafted to the Ring of Fame. So it is definitely, definitely possible. All right. Now, we're going to bring in a special correspondent right now, a guy who knows the college free agent process well, and a linebacker for the Denver Broncos, number 49, Quentin Gause. Quentin, welcome in, man.
Thanks for having me on the show.
What is that process like, Quentin, when you're sitting there, you're hoping to get your name called, and then the draft winds up, you're like, God, what's next? What's next for you?
Well, that process is pretty tough. I mean, on draft day, you know, I had a whole bunch of people at my house. We were watching the draft, you know, last day, nothing happened. Got 10 phone calls on my phone, ended up going with the Eagles at first, got cut. Patriots, then came to the Broncos, had opportunity, made a 53-man roster. So it's a tough journey. It's not easy, but as you got to keep continuing to grind, and it's as a free agent. But as you see, Chris Harris, Brandon Marshall, tons of guys that have come in and just grinded, and they've made the roster. They've had a tough journey, but look what they're doing now.
You come in with a chip on your shoulder. I mean, you come in, you still believe in yourself, but you got to really prove, you got to make a name for yourself, right?
Yeah, it's not easy. You always got to, you're always being watched. You can never be comfortable. That's the one thing that I've always been taught. You can never be comfortable in this process. So you're grinding every year.
How do you make that decision? You know, you get 10 guys calling you at once. Like, how do you kind of sift through all those phone calls?
You gotta go in with a game plan. So if you gotta have what I did basically, I had a chart of the teams that called me the most before the draft, and I had a board of the teams that, you know, potentially I wanted to go to. So I ended up choosing Philly because they needed linebackers at the time, and then that was the choice I went with. But I know some guys may not go in with a game plan and they just choose, and they don't look at the situation. I think you got to be smart about that. So that's the free agent process right there. Yeah.
What made Denver you feel like a good spot for you? I mean, obviously you got the call there later on, but like, why has this been a good spot for you?
This has been a great spot because the players, they grind here. Is a family. Every time the vets, they treat you, you know, like they're my older brothers, man. I mean, every time I'm in the weight room on the field, and it's just a great team to be on. I love it out here. The fans are great. It's definitely been a blessing.
We're gonna see a bunch of college free agents come in this week to join the roster. You are definitely not the only one who's had to go through this process. Some of your teammates had to go through the process too.
Yeah, tons of my teammates. So I actually did an interview with some of the guys not too long ago, and it was Vontarius Dora, had Kevin Snyder, a couple of guys, Hunter Sharp, and they've been through a lot. I mean, Hunter had a ACL tear, I believe, and he was with the Eagles. Then they have a team he was on, and he was training for months, and then finally got a call from the Broncos. Kevin Snyder, Detroit, Patriots. He had surgery, then came to the Broncos. So it's tons of like crazy stories. But you know what? Like, you continue to grind, you're gonna have the opportunity that, you know, comes. So this is a blessing that they're here.
Dora, you know, we're talking about guys that are free agents on this team that have worked their butt off to get here. What was it like on day three of the draft when your name wasn't called? What happened after? What were you thinking?
I was real disappointed, you know, but, you know, it just gave me the mindset just to go harder, work harder, you know, fix the things that I need to be fixed.
It was like in college, you go from being that dude and then you go to a place and nobody knows your name, you know what I'm saying? Nobody even knows that you were actually a pretty good football player, but now you're just like a number in a jersey.
We joined the team as a free agent, and what was that process like?
I mean, it was a grind, you know, coming out of a small school like Holy Cross. you know, D1AA, you know, it's hard to kind of get looks out there. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, it's what you expect. It's a grind. You have to come out here. You have to work hard, first in, last out. I mean, you have to do everything you can, showcase every single ability that you have to give yourself a shot to make the team.
Now, me and Kevin Snyder, we played football at Rutgers together, both linebackers, so this is my guy right here. As a free agent, like, yeah, you're traveling from state to state. You don't feel settled, you know. How does that feel?
It's straining, especially on if you have a lady friend or whoever it may be at home. It's straining because at any point you could be gone, and that's why they always say have a bag packed. You know, so you're ready to go, so you have the things ready. And I mean, like when this past season with Denver, I was sitting at home with a friend of mine on like a Monday or Tuesday night, and it was about 8 o'clock, and they called, and I was on a plane the next morning, and I had to let my girlfriend know that I might not see her for a few months.
So you played 4 years of basketball at UTEP,
yep,
correct?
Yep, that is correct.
And your fifth year of eligibility, you played football for the first time.
Yes.
So what was your experience like that 1 year in college playing football and then transitioning over to the NFL draft?
Oh, it was crazy. You know, coming from being a basketball player to a football player, two completely different sports, and then finding out, you know, this guy has a shot and having an opportunity, it was changing.
We both were on the Eagles at the same time last year. But you had a moment where things went bad for a second, and then you know, a couple months go by, and you get picked up by the Broncos. Tell me about that process.
I ended up tearing my hamstring the week before the first preseason game, so I went home and just rehabbed and tried to perfect my craft. And, you know, I just worked every day, not knowing if I was going to get a call or not. I really had to have faith in God. God was a big part of that. Just getting back to my regular life helped me, you know, remember why I'm doing it, you know, and remember why I love the game.
Who do I play for? Myself, you know, my family, my peers, you know, my teammates, coaches, Broncos organization. What I plan on do? I plan on, you know, my goal is just to win the Super Bowl, of course. But, you know, just to do what I can to help the team win.
What are your goals for the 2017-2018 season?
Well, really, first, I play for my family. You know, I want them to be proud of what I've accomplished. I play for my girlfriend. I play because I want to be able to support her as best I can. And my goals for the 2017 season, I want to be able to make an impact.
You know, with this season under my belt, when I go on next season, I'm coming in, so, you know, I want to be an impact player. I want to go out there, I want to make plays, I want to produce, and I want to be a big contribution to this team's success, because this team's a great and outstanding team, and I want to be a part of that.
Man, what an interesting journey it is. You always got to have that bag packed. You always have to be ready. Is it like you have to have your phone on you at all times, I imagine?
You do, pretty much. I mean, it's a never-ending journey. I mean, you got to continue to grind. Like I said, you can't get comfortable. You always have to continue to make yourself uncomfortable and prepare for those opportunities at hand. Because say you have a tryout and you don't condition. And then you go to the tryout, you look bad. You're not going to get picked. You got to continue to prepare with the opportunities that you're given.
So. A couple of those guys kept it pretty real there. I mean, Hunter Sharp said you're just like a number. Is that what you really feel like when you come in?
Yeah, sometimes. Yeah, because you have some guys. You know, the guys get drafted, and you know the priorities a lot. You know, they're a priority. So you have to prove yourself. You know, and it's not like college where you're the man. You know, you're the guy on campus. Now it's like, hey, you got to start all over again.
The Broncos brought in 8 guys this weekend. What did you think of the draft class?
I thought it was a great draft class, actually. I was pretty excited. Jake Butt, I played against him at Rutgers.
Big
so,
Ten.
Yeah, played against him twice. And then Chad Kelly, I played against him in high school.
Oh,
so
really?
It was crazy. So definitely a great draft class, and I can't wait to see what they do.
What's the scouting report on those guys?
Those guys, I know, well, Jake Butt, definitely great receiving tight end, catches the ball, diving catches, great, great quarterback, great tight end. And then Chad Kelly, you know, he's a baller. He will beat Alabama twice.
Yeah.
It's very hard to do, you know, so that's awesome. So those guys are great guys. Can't see what they do when they come in. So.
Well, they're going to also add to that class. College free agent list will be announced later tonight, so be sure to keep it tuned to DenverBroncos.com. A couple of thank yous, though. It's taken a village to put this show on for the last 3 nights, so I want to get a couple of thank yous. Nick, Spencer, Pat Jordan, Aaron Fabus, Aaron Gunning, Jeremy, Russ, Luis, thank you guys all for your help. We really, really appreciate it. Phil, any last final thoughts?
No, I'm excited about the draft. A special right. Thanks to Quentin Goss.
Quentin Goss, man. This
appreciate you guys.
Special correspondent. Coming back on, though, right?
I'm definitely coming back on this show.
All right. He's a natural.
We're holding you to it. For now, though, we say goodbye. Make sure to check out DenverBroncos.com as we hit rookie minicamp as well as that college free agent list. But until then, we say so long from the UC Health Training Center.